You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
All right, man. Welcome to Shelter this morning. Good to be here today, right? Right? It's good to see you guys, man. Good to see you. It's a good day, I'm telling you. So, thank you for coming, and you know, this, by the way, that was Kim. Give Kim a big hand, would you? She's sitting up here in the front row. So, anyways, we love Kim, and we love, we just love each other, don't we? It's good to be here today. All right, so listen, I found these images this week, and I kind of wanted to start off with this just a little bit. I wanted to, and we'll kind of move through the message, but I this is interesting to me. This is kind of what we've been seeing, is it not? You know, in the news and that kind of thing. This coronavirus and by the way, I was talking to a physician this week, and he was talking about the coronavirus, and he was saying that he personally right now is more worried about the flu. You know, the flu is just as, you know, it's just as bad in that regard, in the way things are. But this is pictures that we're seeing in our culture today. You know. We see quarantine and isolation. You know, what's next? We see an Uber driver, a taxi driver, right, blocking things off. You know, the concern of it spreading. You know, I think we have another one here. Yeah, this is a nurse working in the hospital, and the mask. You know, she's had the mask on all day, and just a picture. Pictures say a lot, don't they? They really do. I think it's a picture of where we are today, the concern that we have over, you know, over sickness being contagious and that kind of thing. But I want to talk about something else today, another kind of sickness, something else that's infection. It's contagious and infectious. That is deception and sin, you know? We have a lot of concern over this, and we should, and I get all that, and no problem, I understand. But I also believe sometimes we don't go deep enough to really look and at the deception and the sin in our own life, and what that does in terms of causing pain and hurt and dysfunction in not just in our life but in the life of others. Does that make sense? So today what we want to do is we want to talk about how to deal with that. And one of the ways that we believe, and I'll shift gears in just a second, but you know, one of the ways that we want to deal with that is go to the basement. And that's what this series of messages is about. It's about going to the basement, encouraging the church to go to the basement. Now, I don't know about you, but I try to avoid the basement. In our house, the basement is it's crazy. It's I got toys and kids and stuff all over, right? And I don't even want to go down there. I don't even want to look at it. And then you go through the storage room, and oh my goodness, there's the Christmas stuff, and you're sorting through all those the boxes, and there's something happens to me inside, right? When I start thinking about the basement, right? All the stuff. We're not hoarders, but we border that line, I'm telling you, you know? And we just, you know, there's toys and things that, you know, we could probably get rid of, I think, you know? But that's not my decision. maybe I need to deal with that myself. And the basement. The basement in our house, we have a walkout basement. That's where we got the bedrooms. Kids' bedrooms are down there, too, And when it rains really, really heavy, our basement is dry now after putting into all kinds of excavation work and things to get the water runoff. But I remember, man, the first time the water started coming in. Oh, if you want to see Beth Riddell go crazy, I mean, she has a conniption. Her eyes go nuts. She's not here. I can just tell you the way it works, you know. And what are you doing? Then we got water. You know, you think it's a volcano's coming or something, you know? and water, everybody springs into action, and there's towels and all kinds, and oh my goodness, you know. And when it happens, you know, just the idea of dealing with it is something that I don't like. So I literally called my buddies excavators because I did not want to deal with it, and I don't know how much, it's a lot of money that I have redirecting everything so that my wife, I don't care about water in the basement, I care about keeping my wife happy, man. You know what I'm saying? You know? No, that's, you don't have to do that. The ladies are clapping. This is totally unfair, guys. I know. And my wife is not here, so I can, you know, embellish as much as possible here. But my point is this, is when stuff goes down in the basement, there's a part of me that just wants to ignore it, not deal with it, right? Hope it goes away. And sometimes our basements are scary, right? Sometimes they're a mess. Sometimes we're just too tired to deal with it. The idea, I got to walk down that basement, and then I got to go do whatever I'm supposed to, you know, and then I got to walk back up. I mean, just the idea of going, putting forth the energy to go to the basement, right? So here's the truth. You may not have a lower level in your house, but you have a lower level. You have a lower level. You have an emotional and spiritual life that is below grade, folks. And down under, deep down under, in your basement, they're full of memories, feelings, emotions, beliefs. Some are scary, some are messy, some are just exhausting to think about, and yet there are things we just don't want to deal with. Out of sight, we say, is what? Out of mind, right? So, the series of messages in the next upcoming weeks is about dealing with it. And we want to deal with it. You know? When we don't deal with it, it causes and leads us to incredible unhealthiness. And I have, you know, I've seen too many people ignore their issues, and at some point, we all have to deal with it. Some are saying, well, what are you talking about, Ryan? Well, here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the 60-year-old man that I met this week that has a 39-year-old that is incarcerated and out. It has an incredible drug addiction. And he himself, the 60-year-old dad, doesn't feel capable of helping or being productive. And he himself feels like, quote unquote, dead weight. So he hits the bottle a little too heavy. Not wanting to deal with it, right? Not being critical. I love this guy. What about this? I've seen marriages collapse. When 30-year-old gals have not dealt with their sexual abuse issues, and now their marriage, 15, 20 years later, now their marriage is beyond repair. That's the kind of basement we're talking about. I've seen people sit in their deepest of gloom because they never really willing to unpack the messy, unorganized mess of their childhood or how they were raised. Look, here's the truth, guys. God is wanting us to deal with it. He's wanting us to deal with it. In this safe place called the shelter, yesterday we had this meeting of people interested in transformational prayer ministry. What is that? Well, it's just this. It's people interested in dealing with what's below grade. People interested in dealing with things that are heavy, beyond surface, things that are in need of being made well, right? And this transformational prayer meeting that we had from 9 to 12 yesterday, it was a powerful, powerful time. And in that meeting, I just felt compelled to say this. You know, we call this church the shelter. Why do we call it the shelter? Because we want it to be a safe place for hurting, dying, empty, lost people to come in and find Jesus. And what we know is this, is there's a lot of people that's been hurt by church, right? God help us. We have an incredible responsibility. We want to be a safe place for people to deal with their stuff. But yesterday, in sharing with them, I feel like God is calling us not just to be a safe place, not just be a safe place for people to have, you know, come in and get some relief, to be just a refuge, but to be a safe place where people can come and find healing. We say this is our mission statement, to lead every person into a life-changing relationship with Jesus, right? There's a life-changing component. And that life-changing component I'm talking about is healing. We are all in need of healing, all of us. Maybe not physically. It may not be like we're carrying around some virus in the sense that we're seeing it portrayed in media today. But I want to tell you, even deadlier than the physical viruses that you see is the sinful viruses that are rooted in deception. And God wants us to find healing. And can you imagine if the Shelter Church was known not just as a safe place, but it was a place known where people could find healing, where people would drive by and they would say, man, that's where Johnny broke free, man. That's where Johnny found healing and that's where Johnny found peace. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if when people are driving by, people, this place becomes a place that's tied, that's associated, the identity of this place is tied to healing ministries. God help us. I believe that we are in a real need of helping people. And not just, look, before we can help people, we ourselves need to find help. And so, you know, we ourselves, whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, we ourselves, you know, have to go to the basement. We ourselves have to deal with our issues. Before we can really help other people, we ourselves have to be helped. Right on, Brother Ryan. I'll just say it myself. I mean, I can get up here and I would love to give you, you know, some Martin Luther King, you know, inspiring John Maxwell, inspiring message. And you know what I mean? Send y'all out inspired by, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever. But where we are, where our world is, where our culture is, and man, I'm all about this wonderful economy, and I'm all about the business, and I'm all about doing what we need to do to provide for our families and live in a way where, you know, where we can fund the kind of things that we want to fund. But at the end of the day, folks, we got to get to the basement. At the end of the day, we've got to really dig down and not live on the surface. Understand that there's something deeper than what we see and what we've experienced. So, in saying all this, there's a perfect scripture that we have for you today, Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, 21 through 24. And I'll read through this. I'll get you going. Here's what it says. Jesus got into a boat again and went back to the other side of the lake where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Now, can you picture it? This large crowd. This is a large crowd of people, right? And they're all on the other side of the shore. And I think of the large crowd. These are surface people, man. You know, this large crowd. They don't realize what's going on yet, okay? They don't see it yet, but they're entertained by what Jesus is doing. You know, they didn't have movies and Netflix back then, folks. You know, so Jesus is this movie. You know what I mean? They're watching what Jesus does. They don't have anything else to do, and they are probably inspired, and they like what they're hearing, and Jesus is doing things for them, feeding them, he's healing them, he's, you know, there's good things going on, and man, they don't have anything else to do, and they're following Jesus. There's something about Jesus they like, at least up to this point. until Jesus takes him to the basement. Think about that. Oh, we'll get there in a couple weeks. Good Friday's coming. Verse 22, then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. Now get this, folks. You got a large crowd of people. They're like, oh my gosh, that's Jairus. Look what's going on. Jairus fell at Jesus' feet. I mean, this, you talk about entertainment value. They're eating their popcorn, whatever, you know, checking this thing out. This is newsworthy. He's the leader of the synagogue. He saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. My little daughter is dying, he said. Please come and lay your hands on her and heal her so she can what? Live. Okay, so there you have it. That's what's up. This is big news, big story. Here's what I want to say to you. I want to say this to you. At some point, it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter if you're the leader of the synagogue or if you're the blind man sitting at the gate, at some point, you are going to have to deal with something you don't want to have to deal with. Verse 24, Jesus went with him and all the people followed, crowding around him. So here you have this little girl. She's sick. She's dying. Folks, this is, and I'll be honest with you, man, I don't like seeing sick kids. Do you? Right? Thank you. I don't know who that was there. What's that? Yeah, that's my daughter. Okay. Thanks, Ella. Now, I don't like seeing sick kids. I don't like it. No one likes seeing sick kids. You know what I mean? And we like to put sick kids out of our mind. But, you know, sometimes that's the basement too, right? Dealing with the basement. I think of people who have careers with going below grade. People like Casey Dubler and Michelle Stamm dealing with the basement. Showing up at Dayton Children's Hospital working with the sick. Michelle Stamm telling me about a 12-year-old boy. You're not going to want to hear this. This is below grade. This is basement kind of stuff. But Michelle telling me, not long ago, telling me about a 12-year-old boy who spent his entire life in isolation. He never left ICU. Didn't have parents, or well, he did, but his nurses and doctors were his family. And after 12 years of buying him Christmas presents and teaching him to read, these nurses teaching him to read, and not only teaching him to read, but teaching him to brush his teeth and loving on him, he died. God help us. Who wants to deal with that, right? See, when God calls us to the basement and he calls us to be a place of healing, you begin to see things you don't want to see. Experience things you don't want to experience. Verse 22, then a leader of the local synagogue whose name was Jairus arrived. And okay, so we said that. And pleading fervently, okay. And so it, all about that, here's the truth. At some point, it doesn't matter who you are. Look, we're all going to have to deal with it. And all of this is going on. There's this frenzy and people are eating popcorn and they're watching this and they're seeing what Jesus is going to do and how he's going to respond. The leader of the synagogue, you got all this stuff going on, right? All this stuff is happening. And then in verse 25, a woman in the crowd, I'm sure she's got herself covered up. This woman covered up, covering up her suffering, for 12 years with constant bleeding. Talk about the basement. She did not want anyone to know. This was humiliating. It was constant. It was something she dealt with. And those that knew her looked at her as though she was unclean. And what did the Old Testament say about unclean? It said, don't touch the what? Unclean. So you talk about isolation. You talk about alone. Here's a woman, alone, isolated. She's quarantined from everyone else. Hiding under her cloak. And here's what it says. This woman, verse 26, it moves, she had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Interesting, isn't it? I mean, here's the truth. One thing you have to respect about this lady is she's willing to spend everything that she has to get well. Desperate. So here you have Jairus, the crowds. It's all about the girl. And I think sometimes it's easier to want to fix our kids, and it's easier to kind of get off. It's easier to want to deal. You know, we're consumed with fixing others, right? You have the crowd, you have Jairus, and they're moving to fix the girl. If you're Jairus, you're all about fixing your kid, right? I know a lot of us that we're very concerned about fixing our kid. We're very concerned about seeing our loved one come through recovery, right? But we're not as concerned in dealing with our own issues, right? The woman who suffered with this issue of blood, it was about her. It was about her personal issue. It was causing her many problems, and she was unclean, and no one wanted to touch her or be around her. And folks, here's what I want to say is this, is that most people neglect. A lot of folks want to ignore. If they have an issue with anger, depression, self-worth, they suppress it. They don't want to deal with it. They ignore it, just hoping the anxiety will eventually go away, right? I think there needs to be more of a fervency within me and within us to be like this woman, willing to spend it all to find healing. To find help. And over the years, she had spent everything that she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. And in fact, she had gotten worse. Verse 27, she had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. And immediately the bleeding stopped. And she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. And Jesus realized at once that the healing power had gone out of him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" And his disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" So I think it's important for us to note this, that there's power in this touch. And what's interesting is I want to say this, the world has twisted things. When you talk about touch, everyone needs touched. And you know, in our day, the enemy, the way he works, he's made this touch to be a bad thing, right? And we're very cautious and careful because we don't want to step over the line. But here's the truth. People need a God-inspired touch. There's something powerful about the touch. We all need human love and contact. All through Scripture, it talks about how Jesus laid his hands upon them. Well, folks, you know, that's a call to children's services. I'm not trying to be funny. What we're talking about, Nothing Jesus did was ever called into question. But today, the enemy, the way he works, and it causes many of us to be, you know, I just believe that people need touch. I remember my old pastor, he would talk about the power of a touch. And he would talk about this. The two groups of people that have less contact than anyone else and who need touch more than anyone else is our seniors, elderly, and our kids. God, help us in that way. Help us in that way. Verse 32, but he kept on looking. He's looking for who touched him because he knew something had gone out from him, right? He knew the power of that touch and he felt that power, that connection. And that connection and the power of that touch was not surface. You see, the crowds eating their popcorn, watching what's going on because they have nothing better to do. That's surface stuff, right? But Jesus knew there was something going on in the basement here, right? And he felt that this touch, this connection, this human contact, he felt something from him move out. And in that, he knew that someone was going where they needed to go to get healing. Someone was dealing with what they needed to deal with to get healing. She needed a touch. And 32, verse 32, but he kept on looking around to see who had done it. And then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And here's the truth. The truth is she thought she was in big trouble because she, being unclean, touched, right? Jesus, this prophet, right? And she thought she was in trouble. Verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. That's powerful, isn't it? Folks, I believe that we all need to be thinking about that God-inspired touch, right? And all of us need to be touched by God. And we need to share that with other folks. Here's the truth. The truth is this, is that my mom used to sing this old song, right? It's an old song. And most of y'all won't even know what I'm going to read you. I'm not going to sing it. Okay, God help us, right? But Gaither, it was an old Gaither tune, right? And if you know who the Gaithers are, my grandma and grandpa used to watch the Gaither videos. That's way before many of y'all. I used to watch it with them. But there's this old song that they sang. It's powerful, really. It's powerful, the song. And there's a reason probably we don't sing it anymore. But let me read it to you. It says, shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know he touched me, and he made me whole. Since I've met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. He touched me. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know, right? He touched me and made me whole. Folks, there is something power about that God-inspired, that God-moving touch, that connection with him. God wants you to experience that touch. Here's what's powerful. What's powerful is there's all this crowds. There's all this surface stuff going on. You got Jairus, and they're going to see Jairus' daughter, right? And by the way, Jairus' daughter died. And then Jesus showed up and healed her, touched her and healed her. Powerful stuff. You got Jairus' daughter, you got Jairus' family, you got the crowd, the crowds there, the disciples. And the disciples, man, they didn't know what's going on. They're just watching this too, man. They're trying to figure out. You got all this stuff. It's happening, right? And in the middle of all this stuff, I mean, hundreds of people and things are moving. Oh my gosh, you hear what? That's the leader of the synagogue. They're going to Jairus' house. You know, the daughter's sick. Oh my gosh, she died, right? All this stuff. It's like hitting news, and the news is all over. You got reporters and cameras, and you got all this surface stuff happening. The busyness of life is above the surface here. People are moving, and down underneath, hidden, is this broken woman who has given everything to try to be whole. And Jesus finds her. She finds Jesus. She touches his clothes. He didn't know. Touches him. Jesus feels that connection. The power of God is released in such a way where she breaks free and she begins to sing and experience life as God originally intended. This is a big deal. This is a huge deal. It's a big deal because when a church and a body of people begin to say to themselves, we are willing to go to the basement to deal with our own personal unhealthiness. We're willing to go to the basement to deal with our own personal stuff. And we're willing then to go and help other people. Here's what happens. What happens is Jesus shows up. If you want to experience Jesus, you go to the basement. Jesus is not in the crowds. Oh, he's in it, but he's not. Jesus is only in the crowd because it's an opportunity for him to get where he wants to go. And his heart's desire, God's desire, okay, is not to amuse you. It's not to entertain you. His desire is to heal you and me. We can come in on Sunday mornings and put on a big shine, or at least try to. We can do this and that, and we can pull off. Shoot, we could even do skits. We could do all kinds of stuff. Buy some more lights and add some more instruments and fog machine. That's what we need. Fog machine. Fog machine. Hey, don't listen. Don't laugh. You may show up one day and we got it. Brandon, put that in our budget. Fog machine. Dry ice, whatever, you know. We'll have Brian Reinecke with dry ice and a fan. He'll be blowing it out from over here, right? Brian will figure out how to do it if we ask him. He's the man. If you need something, just go talk to Brian Reinecke, right? He's a man that can get things. We can put on a big shine. But folks, I don't know that Jesus is always in the shine. I think Jesus is in the basement. In Matthew 9, 12 through 13, here's what it says. It says, when Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous. Let me back that up. Back that up. That's supposed to be a truck backing up. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous or those, I've come to call not those who think they are okay or those who live on the surface, right? Those who aren't dealing with their stuff, but those who know they are sinners slash unhealthy slash need healing slash hurting slash dying slash empty slash need to go to the basement. So, and what really our job is easy, really. Our job is really, really, this takes a lot of pressure off, folks. This direction y'all decide to go, and y'all determine that. I don't determine that. I can try. I can work real hard. Chris and I can, you know, Jory helping, Linda helping with prayer, all that. We can work real hard, try to get people there. And yeah. But here's the truth. Truth is that the church has to be willing to go to the basement. You got to be willing. It's messy. It takes effort. It's unorganized. It is, at times, it's scary. But man, I promise this. Jesus is there. He's there. He really is. And the more you lean into that, the more you experience him. Let's all stand. Lord, we thank you so much for the hour and 5 minutes you've given us. And Lord, I know that some of us didn't come here this morning to deal with, quote unquote, basement type issues. I get that, and I respect that. I just believe and am excited to think about what you're going to do in and through this church and in and through this community of believers. And I pray that you would empower us, and that you would help us. Help us, God, in Jesus' name. Now, before you go, here's the key to all of this, all right? And you'll probably hear this word more in the upcoming weeks, probably maybe months. But the key to all of this is positioning. As a church, look, God does all of the work in this kind of thing that we're talking about. We are looking at the possibility of opening ourselves up in an incredible way to where God does the work and brings the healing. Now, here's the thing. The thing is that our responsibility is that we have to position ourselves. And that's the hard part, because in positioning yourself, it means you got to show up. That's what it means. It means you have to show up, and you have to be willing to put yourself in a position in the midst of everything that you and I have going on. We have to put ourselves in a position where God can speak truth to you and to me. I'm not asking for your commitment in that this morning. But this morning, I'm asking that you will think about this and that you will process this, and that when you come back next week and you hear the messages next week, that you will open up your heart to allow God to transform you and make you new. And then God begins to trust us and bring more people and bring incredible things. We begin to sense and experience the power of his anointing like never before, renewal, revival. Folks, I've tasted it, but I've not experienced it in full. And I'm telling you, it's things that people talk about for decades, if not generations, if you're willing. Lord, we ask for your blessing and your help. We ask, God, that you would move upon us in a way you've never moved before. In Jesus' name, amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.